from another place. It comes down from, it's going to take over the world eventually. But, and it is going to become the government. But in the time of its incubation now, you know, it is an inner kingdom of the heart, an inner kingdom of words. You know, it exists in words, in teachings, in doctrines. It exists in the works of God occurring in us. But that we should start a government? I try to have as little to do with any government as I can, because I'm mindful of the potential hazards of that. It can be potentially hazardous. You know, in my mind, I have not entirely settled what level of participation I should take. We live in a government of the people, by the people. I am Caesar. So, to what, you know, what sort of, collectively, so do I abdicate from that? Do I participate in that? You know, I know a lot of Christians, they take participation in government. They want to actually start imposing morality through laws. And I think that's, to me, that's anti-Christian. Because morality is imposed from within, by self-control, by temperance, by knowledge and faith. You know, it comes from within us, our morality. The best way for me to impose morality on others is for me to become moral first and to exemplify those things and to be an example of those things and to speak those things and to preach those things, not to make laws requiring behavior by others. I do not agree with that sort of Christianity at all. I think that those kind of laws and that kind of legalism does not lead to salvation. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the kingdom of heaven, not making the world better. But I tell you what, also on the other hand, I know as a man, I have patriotism. I tell you, it appeals to me more than imposing morals on people. It appeals to me more to defend the nation and to stand up for our American pride, right? You know, and as a man, you know, I watch movies like, you know, from about our fighting and so on and so forth from the past and our wars, and it fills you with a sense of what a great and powerful nation we live in. You know, and you feel pride at the accomplishment of your ancestors. But I always think it's funny when people talk about, well, we did this in the World War II and we did that, and I think you did nothing. Your ancestors did things. We beat the Germans in World War II. We didn't do anything. I wasn't even born. I didn't beat the Germans in World War II. That was another generation. But aside from all that rah-rah, you know, I say, there's a certain amount of caution. Do not be entangled. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this world. That's what Paul said. No intelligent man who wars. That's why I say the men who go off to war and they have families and stuff, I think that's like, whoa, that's difficult. You can't run a business and conduct a war at the same time. That's impossible. You can't go off to war in Iraq and run a accounting business back home. Or at least you can't entangle yourself in it. Maybe you have someone run it for you. But the point is, you know, people say, well, I could do it with the internet and blah, blah. That's not really the point. The point is, the best way to do anything is to give yourself entirely to it and not to be entangled with matters of other things. So if I'm going to be given entirely to the kingdom of God and making war in the spirit against the forces of darkness, against the forces of religious darkness and of spiritual wickedness in high places, if I'm to truly do that, I can't entangle myself in politics. I can't entangle myself in war. I got to entangle myself in the Word of God. I've got to entangle myself with these things, the things that pertain to salvation, to save souls, because that is the war. I'm trying to bring them out of the deception and out of the darkness that exists in the churches and the political spheres. You want to draw people out of that and away from that, not into a different political sphere, but away from political spheres, away from religious spheres, away from their farms and their merchandise. Into a different sphere, the sphere of the kingdom of God, the sphere of the kingdom of heaven, the sphere of righteousness, holiness, and virtue. So I want to give myself to those things of God. Now money and so on and so forth, yeah, we got to pay our taxes. Sometimes it's very oppressive and difficult. I yield to it. But I've always had problems with it, not with resisting to pay, but just being able to pay the few taxes I have to pay because I don't make much money. I don't owe income taxes, but I got to pay these head taxes. You know, and I always say, like, I have 6 cars, 3 of which barely run. But I have to pay now for 3 cars that barely run and that I use on a rotating basis. I have to pay $100 each to register those cars, insurance for each of them. Like, and I can only drive one at a time. My wife doesn't drive, right? But then a wealthy person could have 2 cars that run great, and they pay the same tax that I do. And I suppose that's fair, but for me, it's very difficult because I can't even keep license plates on my other 3 cars. And if I happen to get scratched together enough money to fix one of my other disabled vehicles that needs brakes or something, let's say I scratch together enough money, I get the parts, and I go out and fix my car, now I've got to pay more money to get it on the road again. I got to pay the licensing fee. I've got to pay the insurance fee. And, you know, and I could barely afford to fix them. So after I spend a couple $100 to fix them, I got to spend another couple $100 to be road legal. I tell you what, it's a burden on poor people, and they don't even care. Nobody cares. Just like the banks, they don't care. I pay my fees, but I tell you what, Federal Reserve note, I give to the Federal Reserve what belongs to the Federal Reserve. But boy, they've got another thing coming someday, don't they? Ooh, they've got a day coming. A day that shall burn like an oven, and it's going to burn all their little slips of paper. And I really look forward to that day. You know, it's funny, I always think it's a fine line between apocalyptic Christianity and terrorism. Because I don't believe that I should do anything to destroy the banking system, let's say, you know. Though such fantasies occupy my weaker moments, what good would it do? No good at all. Until Christ comes and destroys it all, what's the point in doing what little we could do? We can't do anything. Moreover, we shouldn't do anything. We should never take up violence. Jesus was very clear. Turn the other cheek. Because God is going to come with vengeance when the time is right. Until that time, we are to be as sheep to the slaughter. We are to be absolutely, when it comes to those kind of things, harmless as doves. So I would never advocate any form of violence, but I can't deny that things deserve to be destroyed. The wicked and the wealthy who are raping the poor are going to pay. They will pay. As all sin is going to have its price. They'll have their day.